I recently had a conversation with a patient who's a type 1 diabetic, and we were talking about creating good habits and the motivation for creating the habits. Today, and ask Dr. Gill, I want to delve into this and tell you a story about it as well, because I think it's an important lesson for understanding the balance between creating the habit and taking care of yourself and not being overly identified with what is going on in your system. So stay tuned. To Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkelman, your host. And on today's podcast, I want to talk about how we identify with our situation, and that begins to form a way of life for us. And in terms of illness, this can be very detrimental. Now, before we jump into the topic, I want to be very clear that what I'm about to say is not to blame someone for their illness. In other words, if you have a chronic disease, it's not that your habit is causing the chronic disease. That's not what I'm saying at all. And I want to be very clear about this, because there's a balance here, and finding that balance point is going to be a very individual experience. And I mentioned at the beginning, I had this conversation with my patient who's a type 1 diabetic, and it was a really, I felt, productive conversation for her. And she's very frustrated with her situation because she has issues with the glucose monitoring tools and hasn't really figured out how much insulin she needs to take and is having trouble finding a good endocrinologist. And her whole case basically highlights so many problems in America's healthcare system today. But what was interesting is she said, well, the motivation that people, meaning doctors, give her is, well, you have to do this, otherwise you're going to die. And she said, and this was the interesting part, she said, you know, when I wasn't tracking anything, I felt really good until I had gotten into this car accident. But mostly I was doing the things I love to do. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting, because she had put aside her identity as a type 1 diabetic for a year and just lived her life. And so that was a very different experience for her. And I said to her, I said, okay, so your ability to track your blood sugars is more about the motivation, is what is it that you want to do in your life, not that you're not going to die. And she says, oh my gosh, that's so helpful. That's so helpful. Because I think we get stuck in our condition a lot of the times and thinking about, oh, I can't do this, or I'll do this when I feel better. Or and by the way, this is true with all kinds of things in life. You know, I'll start going to concerts when I'm in a relationship. I'll travel more when I retire. I'll enjoy life when the kids go to college. I mean, there's so many things that we put off into the future, and it's not that planning for the future is unimportant. It's about how do I live in the moment and enjoy what I'm doing in the moment. And for some people, that, by the way, is working. And for many people, work is just a way to survive. And other people, work because it's a way of life. And that isn't to say that there's something good or bad about work or travel or being retired. It's the question of what is it that helps you find meaning for yourself and gain satisfaction in what you are doing. And I think that finding that is important, and finding purpose and meaning is important, particularly as it comes to health, because then you have something to go back to as to why am I doing this? What is motivating me to do the tasks that I need to be doing to feel better? That doesn't mean that you don't have frustrations about certain aspects of what you do, right? Or as an example. But I think that finding that intrinsic motivation for this patient was really important for her to help her form a new habit. And this is where this is really important. And this is, I've been talking about habits in the previous podcasts, and I'm planning on doing a workshop on habits. And hopefully you can join me on this. And I think I'm going to do some recorded stuff with some live stuff, just so you know. I'll talk about it towards the end of the show. I'm still working out the dates for the live pieces. That's the big thing at the moment. But the piece about this that's interesting is that here's the dichotomy. And we're going to talk more about this in the second half of the show. The dichotomy is that our character, and I'm using terms from the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Our character is basically what our habits are. And that is what we do on a day-to-day basis. In other words, if you see yourself as a meditator, but you never meditate, you're clearly not a meditator. Now, you can tell people you meditate, and that's your life, but that's not what you do in reality. And so the way you become a meditator is you sit down and you meditate. And you might only meditate for 5 minutes at first, and then 10 minutes, and then 3 hours at some point over time. But that is a process that happens. And it takes time for that to happen. When I wrote my books, because I have a few novels that I've written, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to write the whole thing at once. And when I had those thoughts, that was when I got writer's block. And basically what I realized is if I write 500 to 1,000 words a day, in a year, I will have a novel. And that's exactly what happened. And there are people who can sit down and pound out tons of words and do that. But I'm not one of them. I used to write my blog. I used to write 2 blog posts a day on my blog. And it became, or two posts a week. It became very tiring to keep up with, to be honest. And so I ended up stop doing that. So now what I do is I'm writing a little bit at a time and sifting through things and then coming up with it. And that's the thing about habits. It's that it's like compounding interest in a bank account. The more you do it, even if you do it just a little bit, it compounds over time and becomes a big snowball. And so that's the piece that I think is really interesting. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk about the challenge of the habits and identity intermingling. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman, your host. And before I continue our discussion on identity and habits and how to sort of navigate a chronic illness, I want to just say, if you have any questions, feel free to email me at info@askdrgill.com, askdrgill.com. And I do respond to these, and I want to just say that if you don't get a response from me, check your spam filters, because I have had a few people who ended up in my spam filter and vice versa. And I think that these filtering systems are becoming more sensitive because of the challenges with spam in email. So I'll just say that. And you can also leave a comment either at YouTube or on my website, askdrgill.com, and under this podcast. That would be helpful. Or use the form on the website. That's probably the best way to reach me. There's a form that you can fill out and hit that and go from there. All right. So I am talking about habits, and I was mentioning how creating a habit that is positive or negative begins to sort of come into our system, and it kind of builds on itself. And one of the interesting things about the chronic illness, and I'll go back to diabetes for a second, because if you're a type 1 diabetic, you need to create very strict habits about eating, about measuring your blood sugars, about taking insulin. And this is a part of your life, and because this is something that is miraculous that the body does if you do not have diabetes. And I think about this every time I have a patient with diabetes, and am grateful to my body to be able to manage that on its own. And I don't have to think about it. I mean, it's a really amazing system, and it's incredibly intricate and well-balanced. And unfortunately for people with diabetes, this system does not work anymore for them. And they have to find a way to manage it. And for many people, continuous glucose monitors have been an amazing technology to help with this system. Some people cannot utilize them for various reasons. And they still have to do finger sticks and, you know, counting and all this other stuff to figure out, you know, what it is that and how it is that they need to eat. And it's really kind of identity forming, right? And so the thing about it is how do you manage your health? And I use diabetes as an example because it's very obvious, right? But anyone with a chronic illness that I treat is doing a lot of different things that are involved through the day. They're watching what they eat. They're drinking lots of water. They're taking their vitamins. They're doing their UNDA drainage numbers. They're doing castor oil packs. They're doing dry skin brushing. You know, all of these things that are really important to help maintain a balance in the body. And so the question is how do you do that and not become in this identity around, oh, I am Susie. I'm using a generic name for a minute. I am Susie with chronic fatigue syndrome, and I have to do all this stuff. And so there's an important piece here, I think, when we want to heal, which is how do we do the habits, but not identify with our illness? And I think that is really an interesting challenge in health and in healthcare, because I think oftentimes we take on these labels. It could be chronic fatigue. It could be schizophrenia. It could be manic depression. It could be insomnia, whatever it is, oftentimes we take on these labels. And as a result of that, the problem becomes debilitating because of the label, not because of what's going on in your body. And I think that this is a really interesting conundrum in terms of how do we manage this and how do we help ourselves feel better in these situations. And by the way, I don't have an answer to this. You know, I mean, I help people navigate this, but there's no right or wrong, and there's no right answer because it's going to be different for everybody. And, you know, as another example, it's like I've had patients ask me, why do you think I have this illness? And it's like, that's beyond my pay grade. I mean, I can tell you what's going on in the body. I can give you a theory as to where it may have started, you know, and I'll throw out a few things. Head trauma. It depends on what it is, obviously. Head trauma when you were young. Toxic exposure. Bad diet, you know, and food additives over the years. That's just accumulated in your system. Heavy metals, mold, viruses, Lyme disease, etc., right? Any one of those can create chronic illness, right? Why does it happen? Or is there a spiritual reason for it? Man, that's way beyond my pay grade.
All of those reasons I gave point to the how the illness started, but the why, that's something that we just don't have the answer to. There's a bigger picture here, a spiritual picture, if you will.
And the reality is we do not know. Now, I think sometimes patients know. I think sometimes patients know, this is happening because of whatever in my family lineage, or you know, this happened when I was young and so forth. Whatever that is, I think sometimes patients know. And I don't know if I can say that to a person as to what it is. And maybe it doesn't even matter what it is. But I will say this. I do think that there is an energetic component here. And I think that illnesses arise first in an energy layer before hitting the physical body. That much, I think, is true. And I think that medicine hasn't really embraced the quantum mechanic version of the universe. And we're no, you know, human bodies are no different, right? I mean, the fact that electrons can spin and reverse their spin with their paired electron that's thousands of miles away is kind of miraculous, right? I mean, it means that something is moving faster than the speed of light. There's something here that we do not understand. And that piece of things hasn't really been integrated into Western medicine. There are elements of that in Eastern medicine, right? I mean, the whole meridian system in Chinese medicine is very much based on some of these concepts. And by the way, if you are curious about Chinese medicine, there's definitely some good books about it. But one of the interesting things about Chinese medicine that I find fascinating is, you know, people say, well, why would you stick needles in you? It's like, well, they've been sticking needles in people for thousands of years, and they've observed what happens when they stick a needle in a particular point versus another point and figured out, oh, that's affecting this organ system. I mean, it's not random, right? It's not random. And it's the same. It's pretty consistent for everybody. People's reactions aren't always the same. But the meridians are the meridians. And if you put a needle on a particular place, it's going to affect the same organ system in an individual. And how they respond might vary based on the person. But that's acupuncture. So getting back to the topic, I guess one of the things that I'd like to reiterate is understanding that don't put off living your life. And
you know, that is so important for healing. And I think it gets underutilized in medicine. And one of the practices that I really like is a gratitude practice. And I have another podcast about it. But basically, if you take a breath in and mentally say to yourself, I am grateful for, and breathe out and think about something you're grateful for, and do this multiple times, like do this for 5 to 10 items every day, and you'll see how it changes. And I think that another piece to this is learning to love your body where it is, regardless of how you feel, and be present in your body. And I think that's a very important piece to healing as well. I may do another podcast about that. But to summarize, I think that it's really important that finding a motivation for why you want to be healthier, part one, doing little bits at a time, understanding that you're not going to go from 0 to 60 overnight, and in most cases, and doing the habits from the standpoint of, I'm doing this because I want to have X being your motivation, not I'm doing this because I have X condition or Y condition, right? And I think that's really where this boils down to and how this plays out. So if you're interested in learning more about this, I am planning a workshop. And if you want to email me and say, yeah, I'm really interested in this, send me information, that would be great. Send it to info@askdrgill.com. Or talk about the workshop specifically, or use that form on the AskDrGill.com website. I think it's under the schedule button, and I'll send you information. I'll put you on my mailing list. You can also just go to the website and get on my mailing list, and I'll be telling people about it and offering this once I figure out my dates for the workshop and how I'm going to do it exactly. I thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next time.